Scott, the governor's budget address this past week, you and your colleagues had to sit through 90 minutes of Josh Shapiro going on and on. What were the highlights or perhaps lowlights of his address?
One of the big lowlights was, I think my back, it was still numb days after the budget address. Though I would say that there are a couple things that may be good that we might be able to work with him on. Things related to prison closures. We have the capacity and where the numbers are that, you know, we could save close to $1 billion over 5 years if by right sizing. That's certainly a positive. But outside of that, there really wasn't a ton of things that I could point to that did not leave me in astonishment, given the fact that it's pretty well known that Pennsylvania is struggling with a significant $4 billion plus structural deficit. And the last thing that we ever would expect is for a governor to turn around knowing that and propose a 7.5% increase on that budget to the tune of about $3.6 billion more in spending. And when you combine that with the fact that he is really intent on wanting to drain down Pennsylvania's rainy day fund and our fund balance, something that we have fought for years, to more stabilize the Commonwealth's fiscal position, get bond upgrades, to save money in refinancing debt, things of that nature. And we all know that those kind of funds are also one-time funds. They should be used only for emergency purposes, but he wants to keep injecting this into the Commonwealth's budget. I was very astonished by the fact that he just wants to double down on the fact that he wants to grow Pennsylvania's structural deficit. So if you combine that with the fact, the one thing that really stood out to me when you read his budget document, in all my years of ever dealing with budgets, I can say with 100% certainty, I have never seen a budget presented with the inflated and unrealistic revenues and also greatly understated historical spending in the out years. And so he is trying, and it's very evident, to show through, and this might be a shock to you, Loman, through 2028 at least, that he can have a balanced budget, right? That he doesn't need to raise taxes, can still have all his wonderful spending he wants. But it's fairy tale land. And what we're faced with right now is if we would approve his spending proposal as is, we would legitimately be in this position next year talking about having $0 in our rainy day fund, $0 in our fund balance, and having about a $4.5 billion budget hole, which you and I know only can be closed two ways, massive tax hikes or massive program cuts. And so he's not being very transparent with where his numbers are. Historically, the Independent Fiscal Office or the Senate, we might be off by, you know, a couple $100 million in terms of projections, and then we do updates throughout the years and things level out. Same thing with the administration. Over the next 5 years, he's so overinflated just on baseline revenues, like the sales and use tax, the personal income tax, he's off by about $5.1 billion of revenue that he's added into that equation. And we have not seen that yet. He also took an old playbook page of wanting to implement a tax on adult recreational use marijuana and on Pennsylvania games of skill in wanting to tax them. But here's the interesting point. Not only do neither of these taxes exist, but he legitimately doubled his marijuana revenue number from $700 million to $1.5 billion. He multiplied it by two, and then he took the game of skills revenue, something else that doesn't exist right now, and he multiplied that revenue by five. So he's playing a huge game of smoke and mirrors, and it's to the detriment of reality, and it's to the detriment of Pennsylvania taxpayers. And I even make an argument, it's a detriment to the people who desperately do need services. So very, very disappointed in what was presented to us in this. I was disappointed to have to sit through 90 minutes of that. And it just shows another example as Pennsylvania tries to get to its feet to address some of our economic and demographic decline. It's these kind of policies, whether it's budget, whether it's energy, that are really holding Pennsylvania back. And sad that that's the kind of leader we have right now with Governor Shapiro.
We are talking with State Senator Scott Martin, who represents the 13th State Senate District. That's in Lancaster and Berks County, about the governor's budget address. And Scott, not only is this fiscal folly, but as we look at the fact that he wants to inflate spending, in addition to inflating revenue beyond any realistic expectation, where does he want to spend all this additional money? What's he want to spend it on?
There's a couple key areas, and I'll note a few of them here. First and foremost, the biggest increase is actually in human services funding and is really tied to Medicaid. Medicaid is one of the largest cost drivers in our budget. And it's really because of the things that they allowed to be covered under Medicaid. Take, for instance, one of the biggest things that are going on right now is they're actually allowing weight loss drugs like Ozempic, not necessarily for someone who is, you know, dealing with diabetes or whatnot, but they've been more heavily utilizing that. That's an extremely expensive drug. They also sought approvals from the Biden administration, which hopefully we can get the Trump administration to revoke. They literally want to spend money on allowing 6 months worth of rent. This is through Medicaid, 6 months of rent for people coming out of prison. He wants to pay for things like at-home grocery delivery services for pregnant women, which should be a real offensive to all our moms across Pennsylvania who never got that luxury and worked hard. He also has in there the ability to buy pots and pans and things like that. I mean, this program is so diluted, but that's about $2 billion of his increase. Outside of that, he's also looking to pump up other areas so he can hand out money for economic development. But the other big one is public K-12 education. He wants to increase that by about another $800 million. And when you really look at where Pennsylvania being one of the top states right now, providing financial monies for K-12 education, I think we spend on average close to $22,000 per child, one of the nation's best. But what we're seeing is a drastic decline in the number of kids in our education system and graduating from our high schools. We just had the smallest kindergarten class since 1986 that's going to be working its way through. And we have school districts, some of which have lost close to 20% enrollment over the last 4 years, 10% in another school district. So instead of focusing on right-sizing that, he is going full forward with wanting to give pretty much any extra money that's even out there on top of what's been given in the past to our public K-12 system. So those are really the big areas that he's looking to spend so much more money out of Pennsylvanians' pockets.
When you look at education spending here, Scott, as you look back over the last 10 years, if you look back to former Governor Tom Wolf, he increased education spending by hundreds of millions, billions of dollars every year. There was a tremendous amount of so-called COVID relief money that got pumped into public education, a big spending increase last year. When is enough enough?
Right. And when you add to the fact that we have collectively, school districts across Pennsylvania, public school districts are sitting on about $5 billion in reserves. And most importantly, the proficiency outcomes that we are seeing go exactly opposite of the investment that has been made. We continue to not have, we have areas of the state where there's not a single kid in an entire school that's proficient in English or math or science. Yet these are the schools are the ones that are usually crying that they're the most underfunded, where they're already getting the most money per pupil than most other school districts in the state. And those other school districts also get the double gut punch of higher property taxes. So we've come to a real crossing point here after this court decision that says the way we did things was unconstitutional. They didn't say how much money, they didn't make it all about money, as some of those advocates would say. So we've really been pushing to find alternatives for families, many of which are much, much a fraction of the cost, where kids can get out of dangerous environments, historically failing schools, and schools that aren't meeting their needs. And that's been a real push for us, I know, with the Senate Republican caucus. But the bottom line is the numbers of kids that are in the system right now just compounds the fact. You can no longer get away with having hold harmless provisions or whatnot, because it'll really come back. If we need to right size it, and we need to right size it now.
The Lifeline Scholarship Program, one of those alternatives that you referred to, has been a major priority of Senate Republicans over recent years. Is there going to be a renewed push for that program?
Yeah, we're going to keep pushing for that. There's some other ideas related to refundable tax credits. As you know, there's been great success with the Educational Improvement Tax Credit over the years, and that's at a historic high of about $660 million and being fully utilized. There is a demand out there, and the one thing I can guarantee you in all these situations, that the families who make that decision, they're active parents who are making a choice for a reason. And that's a good thing based on what their kids' individualized needs are. So it's going to continue to be a priority for us. If you look around the entire country at the states that have seen not only economic growth, but also demographic growth, ironically, almost all these states, whether you're talking about down in the Carolinas, Florida, Arizona, Texas, these are ones that have empowered families and students to allow you to do what's in the kids' best interest. Unfortunately, in here in Pennsylvania, we have a lot of entrenched special interests that are continuing to try to move this. We have moved bipartisan bills related to this, but unfortunately, in the current dynamic with the House Democrats still in control and not having an active governor getting into that building to really work on getting it passed, it sat there the entire last 2 years. I think we might have passed it two or three times. We were able to get expansion of the EITC program in the last budget, but we're going to keep pushing for all these kids to have these opportunities that best meet their needs, and we're going to do it all over again in this cycle.
State Senator Scott Martin, he is chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, talking about the state budget, the process now underway with Governor Josh Shapiro having delivered a budget address. Senator, if we have listeners who would like to learn more, do you have a website they can go to?
Oh, absolutely. It's SenatorScottMartinPA.com.
State Senator Scott Martin. Scott, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Loman.